Welcome to the Voices of Gremlin, a digital oral history podcast, a series exploring the rich history of Gremlin State University, the city of Gremlin, and the people who make it. This podcast is a collaboration project between students and faculty of the History Department of Gremlin State University, as well as faculty from the University of Arkansas. This season of the Voices of Gremlin, a digital oral history project, has been made possible in part by a grant from the Mississippi River Delta Initiative, Miss Delta, and funded by the Gulf Research Program of National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. Previous funding was provided by the Louisiana Endowment for Humanities, the National Endowment for the Humanities in the partnership with the Social Science Research Council, and the LaPage Center for the History and the Public Interest of Villanova University. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed by this podcast do not necessarily represent those of the funders or the producers of the podcast.
Hello, this is Edward Holt. I am the head of the History Department, and I am here today with Dr. Rory Bedford, the head of Service Learning and Continuing Education. First off, Dr. Bedford, thank you for joining us, and maybe you could just start off giving any first thoughts that you have. Sort of how did you guys first sort of hear about what was happening with Katrina?
Thank you, Dr. Holt, for having me. As I think back, I remember clearly because I got a phone call from a friend I had met up in Chicago at a previous activity at DePaul. And so he called me and he asked Rory, "Hey, are you okay?" And I said, "Ask, what are you talking about?" He said, "It's flooding in New Orleans. Are you all okay? Are you near New Orleans?" I said, "No." But it hit us real hard in New Orleans, but it really hit us hard over the entire state because we felt the impact on that day. We had students from that area. They were worried about family. So a lot of people, they were scrambling, trying to find out how's my relatives doing, how are colleagues doing, friends. And so we were really scuffling that day trying to see how bad it was, and we realized it was real bad. It was not supposed to really hit like that. It wasn't the worst hurricane by looking from the weather, but what gave loose was the levees, and that's what flooded New Orleans. But it hit us that day, made such an impact that it really, as I was saying, it really had us moving around trying to see how we should respond to it. And what I mean about respond, how can we help? And so the doors of Gremlin were open, so if anybody needed to come, they can come here. It was a place where they can come and rest, they can come and work. And matter of fact, I know there were some institutions, Xavier, and I think Dillard, some of their offices transferred north to our campus. And they were able to work side by side with some of our personnel. And so it was a very heavy time, and we were all worried. We did, we were just basically trying to see how we could give back. At that time, the whole state was focused on trying to help that area recover. Students, families, a lot of lives lost that time. And so, you know, and you think about how many people died at that time. It was over 1,800 people who had perished in that devastation. So we were worried.
Paint the picture for us. When those buses come in having rescued the Xavier students, maybe paint the picture of what those scenes were like when those buses come in and we start to, at Gremlin, take care of those individuals that are arriving on our campus.
Buses came with students and others transferred north to North Louisiana. The Student Government Association, they were making sure that people had a place to stay. People had a place to work. We were making phone calls trying to make connection to see that everybody would be taken care of. The main thing, they would have a place to stay, and they would be able to find food to eat. And so the doors on this campus just opened. Hey, here we are, and we want you to be a part of the GSU family. So the students, faculty, and administration, they were just welcoming people in, and the people were traveling north to get here, and some went outside of the state, but I know in North Louisiana, shelters were open so people could come in.
You talked about some of these phone calls being made. Can you recall who you were contacting?
There were agencies from the state. I don't know exactly who they were, but they were calling, trying to make sure that people could find a place where they can rest, receive food. Because when they left New Orleans in that area, they had nothing. They just jumped on buses, and they headed this way. And so they were calling from various agencies, and I think from the governor's office. There were some legislators who were calling and trying to get people out because it was really bad at that time. University presidents called our university president and the administration. They were listening, trying to see what they can do, and they were providing room. And I think some of the hotels in the area, they opened their doors also. So it was a gathering of Louisiana people coming together to help those who were in the storm. And so everybody played a big role in participating to make sure people were safe.
One thing that we really need to dive into is the role of service learning. So can you tell me a little bit about how the idea came about or how the wheels got in motion for what we're about to talk about, which is how service learning really implemented a project to help rebuild down south?
We had already started here at Grambling trying to help others down south by trying to go build. What happened was there was a grant from the University of Louisiana system valued about $1.2 million, and it was to help rebuild Louisiana. And so what Service Learning did, the institutions came together, and it's the group of service learning personnel at each institution, and we came together to write sub-grants. And so what we were doing, it was a competitive thing among the institutions. We had to write proposals, see what grant would be funded. And we had a number of grants, sub-grants to be funded through that main grant. And I think it was over 100,000 plus. I can't really remember. But my role was to help faculty write these grants, and they would write them, and then some of them were accepted. And so the whole idea was to make sure that the grant was toward rebuilding Louisiana. So there were several things we did. We had gone into New Orleans, to Lake Charles, and even we did Baton Rouge, Shreveport, and Bossier. And the reason why we wrote grants to help those in Shreveport, Bossier, because there were a lot of people who had moved north and they had to have housing. So we worked with the Fuller Center in Shreveport And in Bossier, we work with Habitat for Humanities. And we had maybe about 30 students from the Honors College. Dr. Ellen Smiley asked about her Honors College students participating into rebuilding Louisiana. And so that was the big thing, rebuilding Louisiana. And so we went to Shreveport. We did building there with the Fuller Center, with Habitat. We went to Lake Charles. We took students down, a number of students down to Lake Charles, and we built storage houses so the units could be used to store the supplies and store whatever they needed to store. And so we took part of that with the UL system. Not only that, in Baton Rouge, we went down and we helped with gardening and learned about helping and just giving back to the city, those who had to be placed in other areas. Now, but the biggest thing was in New Orleans. We knew New Orleans music was a part of the culture. And so giving back to the arts, that was very important. We had two schools, St. Augustine, and we had Old Perry Walker. And what happened was I wrote a grant that could give back to those schools. They had very good music departments in their schools. And so what we were trying to do to make sure they would have uniforms, they would have supplies. So we wrote a grant to make sure they had supplies. They didn't have band uniforms, but we bought shirts, and it had a logo on it, Rebuilding Louisiana. And they accepted all of that, what we were giving them, because they had nothing. They had no reeds for the saxophones, clarinets. They had no valve oil for trumpets and trombones, no drumsticks for the drums and everything like that. But what was outstanding on our part, we took the entire music department. There were over 300 of us that traveled down, I think, on about 5 buses. And the music department put on a concert for both schools. That morning, it was St. Augustine, and that afternoon, it was Old Perry Walker. And the entire music department, I'm talking about the choir, the orchestra, the stage band, they all went, concert band, and they did a beautiful concert, basically to help the people also feel good about music and to provide some entertainment because of what they had gone through. So the music department and the Honors College students, they really gave back. We really worked hard to go back. People learned that had never learned before how to use a saw, an electric saw. Young ladies were learning to use electric saws, and they were hammering it, and they were just putting things together to make sure that they could do that. We also went down, I think it was around Thibodeau, where we were building houses. Now, these houses were being provided with by Oprah Winfrey and Bon Jovi. And so our students came from the Honors College to work. So it was about 30 students. We rode on the bus down there, and we worked on new homes that were being constructed and paid for by Bon Jovi and Oprah Winfrey. So, and that was along with students from the other institutions in the University of Louisiana system. And we all worked together side by side to make sure that people would have the comfort of a new home and they can start over again.
like the story about the New Orleans, that you're restoring not just the physical things of people, but you're restoring the spirit. We know that you all also organized a trip to Lake Charles. So maybe speak why Lake Charles, and maybe a little bit about the connections or the alumni in the region that you might have partnered with to make that Lake Charles trip possible.
All of the universities in the UL system came together to Lake Charles, and we were coming to help build and to be trained in the process. It was called the Extreme. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was spring. It was during spring break, I believe, and the students were coming together from the institution to build storage houses. And as I had said earlier, that, you know, students have never, all the institutions, they had never, some of them have never held a hammer in their hand. They had never used a saw, electrical saw. They have never done anything like that. It was a great experience for them. They worked hard each day. They were tired after they would complete the day, and they were ready for rest. But it gave them a sense of pride, and it made them feel good because they were giving back to the states, and they were giving back to make sure people would have a great opportunity. Some of the people came out to the site, and they got a chance to talk with the students, and they shook hands, they hugged, and they thanked the students for giving their time, giving back to help them. And so there were some tears shed a few times, but it was a great moment where Grambling students were able to travel down to work with other institutions to make sure all of this could be possible.
What kind of connections with alumni did you leverage?
During the building process, what the alums did, they brought water. And they brought water so we could have on the work site. They took part. If there was anything we needed, they were there. But after the building and we were headed back to the campus, they invited us out to one of the casinos in Lake Charles, and they paid for our dinner. They said, whatever you want, you all just enjoy yourselves. And so that alumni chapter in Lake Charles, they were really super. And they wanted to hear from the students about their experience building. And they wanted to know about college life, since some of them had been out of college a long time. So they wanted to hear the stories from the students. And the students got a chance to talk to the alums, and they heard their stories about their times when they were at Grambling. So it made a nice little family of us getting together, sharing about where they were from, their majors, and what impact them to be a part of this rebuilding Louisiana process.
So coordinating all of the logistics for these projects, what kind of lessons or what kind of learning did your office have about how you're able to respond and how you're able to really engage in these service learning, Restoring Louisiana efforts moving forward?
Well, one thing I know, that because of the students here and the faculty and the administration, that we can answer the call if necessary. We can do it. We are ready to participate in any effort. And when we sat and thought about it, how successful we had been with Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Rita's giving back to help rebuild the state of Louisiana. That made such an impact on the students that has been trickling down, I would say, through this office, because the students and the faculty, the entire university family, know how important it is, and they want to give back. They want to answer that call if there is a need. So from this office, we have launched several projects. Students go out and they do community service. They do the academic service learning projects in the classroom that's being guided by the professors. And they do community service learning. They do it in their organizations on campus, and they do it on their own because they want to do it. It has become a requirement at Grambling that students will graduate with 160 hours of service learning. That's 80 hours and they are not clock hours, but 80 service learning hours in volunteerism. And then there's academic service learning done through a classroom, and that's 80 hours. So a student is required to do 160 hours, service learning hours, before they graduated. It started back during Katrina, when the office was actually getting started. I was impressed. I read an article of a student in Chicago, and he was washing cars in the neighborhood. And they asked him, "Why are you just washing cars? Are you doing it for profit?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm learning to, I'm giving back to my community." And they said, "So why are you giving back?" He said, "I learned this when I was a student at Grambling State University, so I wanted to make an impact." So it has the experience of service learning, students doing service learning and giving back to their community. It's a long time type thing that is something that they'll do, and they'll probably do that for the rest of their lives. And they're having an opportunity to do it in college. And then when they leave the university, they're going to continue doing it through their work areas of occupation. So we are very happy about that. And we think that by learning a whole lot from taking part in the service learning program here at Grambling, that students are learning to give back, and it is very important to them.
So one thing that we always like to end with is we had a lot of questions for you, but did we leave anything out? Is there anything that you wanted to add or share about your recollections as you're thinking about the events and how you all helped rebuild Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina?
As I look back over the years, and it just impressed me how eager the Grambling students how eager they are to come to answer the call of giving back. And that has not changed. They continue to do that. And sometimes they are so eager, they forget to report the projects to me. But I just want them to know the projects that they want to do, and because my job is to sort of direct them and making sure that it fits in the scope of service learning. But they are very eager to give back, and once they leave Grambling, they will take that to the job world with them participating to give back within their community. So that's the most rewarding part.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bedford, for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Holt. I really appreciate you asking me about what has taken place. And I thank you. I appreciate the things you are doing. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Voices of Grambling, a digital oral history podcast, a production of the students in the faculty of Grambling State University History Department, along with the faculty of University of Arkansas. Be sure to listen into one of our other episodes, and if you have a voice you would like to share or have a nomination for a voice that needs to be heard, feel free to contact the History Department for more information.